Spoonie meets Mourinho
on 5 Live.
So I'm now sitting in the underbelly of Real Madrid Football Club at the training ground, not the stadium, with head coach. I'm always used to calling the top man at a football club a manager, but you're head coach, Jose. Do you like being a manager or prefer to be called coach?
It doesn't matter, really. I think your denomination is not the most important thing. Even in my relation with the players, I had everything. I had the traditional Portuguese, Spanish mister. I had the gaffer. I had the boss, the coach, Jose. I had everything. And
which is your favorite?
You know, the gaffer was the one I took. I took a few weeks to understand the dimension of it. I think was Damien Duff, the first one to call me that, and I took a few weeks to understand the dimension. What matters for me is that remains forever. You know, the ones of Lampard and Terry and so on. Even today, they call me boss, and I'm not the boss anymore.
It's like the president. Even when you're not the president anymore, they still call you Mr. President.
Yeah. And the Portuguese guys, I'm still Mr. And some of them, they're coaches in this moment. They finish their career and they are coaches and they still call me Mr. So I think what remains forever, the relationship between the coach or the manager, what you want, and the boys are the most important thing.
It's interesting because your persona, when you see you on the touchline in a press conference, it would very much appear that those things don't matter to you. But sitting there speaking to you now, you hold these things very, very dear and close to you.
These are the things that matter for me. All the other things are things that that I forget. If the moments were moments without the human side of the game, my tendency is to forget and to keep much more this kind of point. I was just in Los Angeles training with the team in the past weeks. I read a book from, everybody says, and from what I read, they are correct, the biggest coach of the history of UCLA and one of the most important ones in the history of university sports, John Wood, and a basketball coach. And one of the things he says, and I agree completely, is that this is all about, or the most important thing in all of this is the man, you know, is the man, is the human relation. And the best coach is the one that puts in everything he does a lot of this kind of emotion. And I learned that with my experience, that is really the most important thing, or the start of everything, is the human side of it.
So has that changed? Because when you first came to England, it seemed much more that you were like the master tactician. I suppose the big game against Manchester United when you were at Porto, it seemed like, I don't know if it was a victory for Jose Mourinho over Sir Alex Ferguson or a victory for Porto over Manchester United. But it seems now that the philosophy may have changed from just being into tactics to being into understanding the mindset of the players.
I think it's a bit of everything, but when you go through that direction, I think in the end of your career, even before that, you realize that once you beat such a big coach in a certain big moment, but later he beats you also. So that's not the point. I think the complete coach is the one that is good in all the areas. It's the same thing. You are going to speak about a great player, and I think is, of course, there are better qualities in some aspects than others, and as a coach you have to hide a little bit your weaknesses.
ball's gone out of play. The referee didn't see that, and it's going to be a throw-in for Fulham, and it looks as though Didier Drogba is preparing to come on as an early substitute here.
And Duff.
And Duff. Jose Mourinho taking action after 23 minutes of the first half, which by even his standards is early to be making changes. But it has been a very insipid Chelsea display so far.
I remember the game against Fulham when you made two substitutions in the first half. And people were saying, it's first, we never ever saw that in England. And then the debate went around, is that bad on the players? Or is that the manager saying, what I thought would work wasn't working, and now I'm going to change it?
A bit of everything. I think is it hurts. It hurts to a player when you change him at half-time. Imagine if you do it before half-time. I think it hurts. And the point is the players, they must understand, and sometimes they do, they must understand that the team is the most important thing. And everything the manager does is for the team. It's not to make somebody feel better or to make somebody feel bad. It's for the team. And the objective of the team in a match is to win it. Many, many times I read the situation and I feel I have to do it. And many, many times I don't do it before half time, exactly because I play a little bit the role of the player leaving the pitch before half time, and I know it hurts, and I know after that we need to work on him to recover a little bit his self-esteem and self-confidence. It's not easy. But some matches are absolutely crucial, and sometimes things happen and you have to think. I can imagine, and happened to me two seasons ago in Real Madrid, my goalkeeper saw a red card in the first minute of the game. So to put the other goalkeeper, I had to make a change. I had to take Di Maria off, and the guy was so disappointed. Why me? Why you? That's the best for the team.
When you first came to Real Madrid, there was a little bit of, you know, the style of play and, you know, a reported issue or issues with Ronaldo. But as time went on and the results started coming in, then everybody started tapping in to your vision.
You know, I came here from Inter. In Inter, I had an objective, which was win the Champions League. And to win the Champions League with Inter, I had to play a certain football. People come with an idea of Real Madrid is going to play the same kind of football Inter did in Champions League semi-finals. But, you know, the best way to do it is to close mouth, to work, and time will show. And 100 points and 121 goals.
Any questions?
Any questions? No. And the style of football, you know, I think amazing. I think we play fantastic football we play. We don't have 80% of the ball, but again, who says to have the ball 80% is the only style or the best style?
It's about efficiency.
For sure is not my style. For sure is not my style. And Real Madrid is a very, very, very attacking size. Score more goals than anybody else. Create chances easily.
So it's a bit of a fallacy that Jose Mourinho is a defensive-minded coach.
You know, you go for the numbers. You know, you go for the numbers. Even in Inter, people got an idea. Italian side, Italian football. Inter defended very well. Very well, but was not a defensive side. But you know, I'm getting older. I have no more time to argue with these things and to answer and to fight. You know,
you seem now like you're the lion in the jungle, that when he's a young lion, he just goes around looking to fight everybody, and then as he gets older, you just see him sitting under the tree, just chilling in the sun. We'll be right back. two of your former charges went head-to-head first week of the season, Brendan Rodgers against Steve Clark. Brendan obviously at Liverpool now, Steve Clark's at West Bromwich Albion. Are you surprised to see them at the top of the Premier League?
No. Steve, I for me the surprise is that only now a Premiership club recognizes that Steve is the right man to be the manager, because he's a very good coach, a tremendous person, a good leader. So he's the first real chance he has to show what he is. But I knew, even as an assistant, I think he was fantastic. And
you wasn't a bad assistant yourself, so you could see it, right?
He was fantastic. He was very good. We love him. And we wish him always good. And he was intelligent. He waited. He was in Premiership clubs. He was in Liverpool. He was, I believe, much more than an assistant in the clubs he were before, West Ham, Liverpool. He's more than ready. He's more than prepared. And he's not late. He's not late, because he's in the right age to have a strong personality, great experience. Of course, we cannot expect him with West Bromwich Albion to win the Premiership, but for sure he will do a great work. And Brendan, he was a young guy when he started working in Chelsea. Lots of energy, lots of enthusiasm, very good ideas, sharing ideas, learning, but showing also his ideas and sharing things. We also enjoy very much to work with Brendan. We keep in touch. I'm not saying every day, every week, but we keep a lot in touch, because it's the kind of feeling we keep forever. I want them to succeed, and they want me to keep doing things well, and so happy that they are in the top.
So Bobby Robson is a national treasure in the UK, and you were his right-hand man. How much did you learn from him?
You know, I was lucky because, he took me with him when I was really, really young. I went directly with him to top-level football. You know, I went to the best Portuguese teams. I went to Barcelona. I spent something like 5 years with Sir Bobby, and of course was very important for me. But again, if you ask me to say the most important things with Sir Bobby, did I learn a lot? I keep the person. I forget everything about football and I keep the person.
Jose Mourinho and Sir Alex Ferguson renew acquaintances for the first time since that Champions League meeting last season.
And now McCarthy comes forward and he slipped over the wall. Save! And now it's put into the net! And it's a goal! It's a goal for Porto in the final minute! Costinha has scored! It's 1-1 on the night! And it looks as if Porto are going to beat Manchester United 3-2 in aggregate.
You hold Sir Alex Ferguson in very high regard.
Of course. You know, my first contact with him was the one for not to forget. And people say or things not to forget because little Porto beat Man United in the Champions League. That's not the point. The point is that after a match where Man United was knocked out at Old Trafford, he was knocking in our dressing room door with Gary Neville, and they went in to congratulate a dressing room that was singing and jumping for such a big thing we just finished to do. So from that moment was a moment where I understood that you have, when the winners deserve, you have to respect the winners. and you have to know how to enjoy a little bit the happiness of the others. And I used to be, in spite of people thinks no, I'm very good on this. I'm very good on gracious and understand when the other people deserve, and enjoy a little bit with not say enjoy a little bit, say, you know, put in front of your sadness of the moment the happiness of the other team, and don't make a drama on it. And it happened with me with Bayern Munich last season when we lost semi-final on penalties, and in the end of the match, it was not a drama for me. I was also in that dressing room. I remember that day of Porto Man U. It was the start of my relationship with the greatest manager of the history of English football, British football. And always proud to say and to don't hide the great relation I have with him.
Now, would you like to emulate him and come back to the UK and be the greatest manager in British history at some point?
Impossible, because he's the one. He's all his life working in the British football, basically after his life in Scotland, all life in Man U, and the numbers he has are impossible for somebody to. It's not to beat. It's impossible for somebody to be close. I want one day to be back to English football. Yes, I always told that.
Would you go back to Chelsea?
I will go where people really want me, and in that moment, when that moment arrived, they show me they really want me, and that's the point for me. But I have to repeat always this. I'm in Real Madrid. I yes. like very much to be. I have a new contract. I'm not thinking about leaving. The day I leave is where I want to go. Yes, I want to go back one day, and that's for sure.
This is Five Live.
Spoonie meets Mourinho.